When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Mets win. Yanks about to get going here against the Oakland A's. Game 3 of 4 out in the Bronx. And if you're looking for it on your TV, it's a prime vehicle tonight. That's right, Prime Wednesday. Thank you, Jeff Bezos. You get to watch the Yankees and the Oakland A's. All the other locals have off tonight. No Rangers Isles, no Knickerbockers. And the Nets have been done a while, of course. But they introduced their new coach today. We'll hear from Jordy Fernandez a little bit later on in the program. Jordan Renan on the Giants, Rich Cimini on the Jets, Grasa us, all the NFL draft stuff over the next 2 hours. Cannot wait. One of the fun times of the year. But let us get to some phone calls here. A lot of people fired up. A lot of people want to talk about a wide variety of topics that we have on our plate today. Let us say hi to Terrence in the car, starting us off here on 98.7. Hello, Terrence. How are you?
Pretty good, Dan. How are you?
Terrence, you know what? I'm doing fantastic today. What's going on your end?
Hey, what a time to be alive, especially as a Knicks fan. So two quick points, one on the Knicks and one on the Giants. So, I mean, as you said, I haven't seen this type of energy in the Garden since, you know, the good old days of Patrick Ewing and the Knicks, you know, duking it out with the Miami Heat. So it's a great thing to see. And then as far as Jalen Brunson, I know he hasn't had a great game shooting, but there was something he did in the fourth quarter game on that last drive. So when they were down by 4 or 5, he didn't do that stupid thing where people roll the ball to try and, you know, play with the clock. He took the ball and he charged up court. And it was almost right before he did that, it was that feeling started to set in like, all right, this is over. It's no way we could win. And he was like a general leading his troops to war. And I think that that energy he brought as a leader is what really made the difference to make them not give up on those last couple drives. Last thing is on the Giants. So We had a bottom five offensive line. We talk about Daniel Jones not being healthy, but, you know, he's regularly among the quarterbacks sacked the most in the league. I'm fine with the Giants and Joe Shane going and getting a quarterback if that's their guy. If we don't take a tackle in the first round, then we've got to get him in the second round. And so if they're going to move up to 3 to get McCarthy or any of these guys whose names are being thrown around, I'm assuming they're going to have to give up at least one of those second-round picks. I'm fine with it as long as they hold on to one to address the offensive line, because you can get the next Peyton Manning, and it could be a horrible season if we have an offensive line that is not significantly better than what we had last year.
Well, what do you think? What do you think about a wide receiver, though, Terrence? Because there's a lot of smoke out there that it might be a pass catcher.
I'm fine with a wide receiver too. I mean, it's a deep draft for tackles, right? We got a left tackle, Andrew Thomas. You know, I don't know much about John Runyon Jr., but I think he's decent. So we got a guard, John Michael Smith. Hopefully, he matures as a center. But I don't think that you can come into the season expecting Evan Neal to be a dependable right tackle. I think you move him inside to guard, you bring in a right tackle, and you look to fill that last guard spot. I think that gives us the best chance to win. But tackle either in the first or second round, and I think we got some hope. If they go a different way, I'll be surprised, because, you know, Joe Shane is supposed to, you know, be from the Buffalo school of build it inside out.
Well, the only thing about it, though, Terrence, and thanks a lot for the phone call. If you want to reference the Buffalo school and the way that they did things in Buffalo, remember, they had already a young quarterback in tow in Josh Allen. And when did Josh Allen's game take off to another level? When they went out and got him Stephon Diggs. When they got him the number one receiver, a dude who actually strikes fear in the opposing defense, that's when Josh Allen really helped come of age. Right? Something that the Jets were never able to do for Sam Darnold when he was here, which was one of many reasons why Sam Darnold never developed into the quarterback that so many thought that he was able to be. Look, there's a lot of ways you can go, and I think that Joe Shane said it perfectly last week when he did his pre-draft press conference, and he said, we're not just one or two players away, right? We're not. And I've been on, I've said it leading up to this draft, and I have not changed my mind one bit with the Giants. If I'm the one sitting there at six and I'm not going to move, I have no problems taking the wide receiver. And I understand that in this day and age, you know, a wide receiver, these guys are dime a dozen, a lot of them, but there's very few special ones. And this draft has three guys that are supposed to be special players. They could be number ones on any team. So if you could get one of them at number six and not have to trade up for them, why not? Because look, however long Daniel Jones' expiration date remains on this football team or with this football team, you might as well make his job as easy as possible, or at least easier than it's been so far in the last few years. You know, Daniel Jones has every right to go up into that front office and be like, hey guys, how about helping me out a little bit, right? Best guy that Daniel Jones ever played with on offense was a running back, and now he's not on the team anymore. Where have they ever had a legitimate weapon on the outside to go out there and take the top off of defenses and to maybe help the quarterback's job a little bit easier? Those are few and far between. The best receiver he's had since he's been the quarterback is essentially Darius Slayton, really? That's going to make your job easier? Where would Darius Slayton be on the Jets depth chart right now? Right? And that's the best you got over there in Giantland? 800-919-3776. John in North Bergen up next here on 98.7. Hey, John, how are you?
Dan the man, thank you.
Johnny, RV, what's going on?
Leo, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking my phone call. I appreciate it always. No, listen, man, like always, I love what you're saying. You know, like, yo, I haven't cheered the way I was cheering for the next game win.
Joe, John, are you all right? I mean, it sounds like a gust of wind is just going to, like, take you up into the sky and, like, spin you into the, you know, into the stratosphere or something.
I'm sorry. I'm, like, walking. I'm in the street.
Oh, I got you. All right.
But can you hear me, though?
Yeah, we got you. We got you. I was just worried about you.
No. I'm sorry about that. But, no, man, listen, like, again, the Knicks, you know, like I told you that last week, when your number's called, you name it, you know, Isaiah, Deuce, Hart, you name it, they're stepping up. You know, even though JB is off, but it was a great win. And what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, I haven't cheered that loud in a long time. But, and then my second point with the Giants, I hope they move up to number three if they could get a, you know, make a swap. But, and number three, Dan, let me ask you this real quick, and then I'm going to hang up. Have you gone to Wendy's and tried the fries with the cheese sauce?
No. John, and you know what? I'm not going to do that, but I thank you for the phone call. The fries with the cheese is not – that's a no-go for me. There's no need for that. You know, see, I'm one of those – like, I don't really need anything with the fries. I'm good. But if I am going to do something with the fries, it's ketchup. And then possibly, like, if it's around, like, you know, you'd throw some barbecue sauce as a dipping tool, but not the cheese sauce. I'm good. How did we get on that subject, by the way? Like, when did that one surface with the fries and the cheese sauce and everything?
That was last week.
That was last week, right?
I can't remember why we got on that, but I know that was a last week situation. And you're not a honey mustard guy either?
No. Mm-mm. I've never heard of that, though, with the – I mean, I've heard of it, but it's not something that's really popular with the cheese sauce and the fries.
No, that's not an every situation.
I mean, to each his own, and if you want to partake in it, that's fine. It's just it's not really my cup of tea.
I think there's a better chance of you putting fries on, like, the ice cream.
Right, that's – yeah, people do that at Wendy's with
I
the Frosties.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a thing. You get, like, the sweet and the savory. Nothing wrong with that, but the cheese, nah, I'll pass. Let us say hi to our good buddy and yours, Ira in Staten Island. He's up next to you on 98.7. Hello, Ira. How are you?
All good. What's going on?
All good. All good. You ready for this draft? What do you think is going to happen? Tell me. What do you want? What do you want to hear happen tomorrow at 10?
Pick the right player.
Boy, that, you know what, Ira? That is as generic an answer as you could possibly give, right?
That's it. I understand both sides of the conversation for the last month. You know, and I'm sure the fan base, and I'm sure even the Jets are split on the decision. Douglas hopefully makes the right decision. Listen, of course, I would prefer the skill position player, but man, oh man, you got to look back at last year and look at those quarterbacks running and getting hit, Rodgers going down. So, you know, I'm good with the offensive lineman. I think in a perfect world, trade down two or three spots, get the best offensive lineman that you like, and pick up an extra pick. But so for the first round, which, of course, that's a sexy, you know, in the round, everybody's talking about it. But I'll tell you the truth, I'm really interested. I have more interest in rounds 4 through 7 than I do for round 1. Because in round 1, hopefully they're going to get a good player and it's going to be the right player. But after that, they still got some spots they got to fill. They need a running back. You got to probably get a safety. I know they brought back Davis, but you're probably going to have to get a safety. Of course, you could get another offensive lineman. You could afford to draft that. You're going to have to draft a receiver. So I want to see in which direction, and I left out the most important part. They got to get a third-string quarterback, and kudos to Douglas. I tell you the truth, just to get anybody, forget about the picks, to get anybody to split the salary of Zach Wilson, I thought Douglas did a really good job on that part.
It's incredible. And, you know, I said it briefly the other day, Iron, thanks a lot for the phone call. I'm sure we'll be talking here over the next couple of days. You know, just to revisit that Zach Wilson trade, the fact that the Jets got a 6 – now, they had to give up a 7, but the fact that they got a 6 for Zach Wilson, when the Chicago Bears got a 6 for Justin Fields, who everybody, you know, has drooled over the last couple of years and blamed the Chicago Bears for all of his shortcomings as a quarterback, but the fact that they got a 6 from Pittsburgh with a chance to maybe escalate to a 4, depending on playing time, it's genius by Joe Douglas. Like, he got something tangible for a guy that there were no takers for, apparently. That you know, last couple of weeks, all we heard about was that the Jets are just going to have to eat it and kick him to the curb and just release him. And instead, they found a taker, they got something in return, and now he goes out to Denver where, I would be pretty surprised if the Denver Broncos by Saturday night don't have another quarterback that they're adding to the mix, whether it's a guy in the draft or a guy that they trade for even on another roster, depending on what other teams do draft-wise. It's not just going to be, you know, Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and who's the third guy? Was it Ben DiNucci for the Broncos? Like, who's the third quarterback? I can't even remember. But those are not going to be the only guys they take with them to training camp. And as I said, I have no ill will towards Zach Wilson. I wish him well. I really do. You know, I thought he was a good dude, and it didn't work out for him here on the field. Will it work out for him in Denver? I have no idea. You know, it's one thing to just wave a magic wand and say, you put him with this coach, everything is going to work wonders. It doesn't always work that way. I think that is one of the most overblown cliches that we have in sports, in our sports lexicon. You know, it happens on a rare occasion, not always. You know, I don't remember Bill Belichick winning too many games with the Patriots after Tom Brady walked away, right? 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Jordan Renan's going to join us at 7:30. Talk a little Giant draft. What would I do? What would I do if I was the Jets tomorrow and I was on the clock at 10 and I had my pick of the litter? What am I doing? I'm glad you asked that question. I'll tell you when we come back. Dan Gross' show, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Isles Nation, listen on up. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup Playoffs. Be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in games 3 and 4 at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. Brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be a part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena. Get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. Dan Grosser Show right here on 98.7 ESPN. Jordan Renan's going to join us to talk some Giants in about 15 minutes. Rich Cimini at 8:30 on the Jets. Grosser's coming up at 8 o'clock. Okay, so if I'm Joe Douglas, and I am the knower of all things when it comes to Jets football operations, and I am the one entrusted with making the pick at number 10 and hopefully bringing in a player that's going to help you win in 2024 and break the Baker's dozen drought of playoff-less seasons that this franchise is currently embroiled in right now. I get it. You know, last year in the first round, they took a project in Will McDonald, and he didn't really do much to help him last year. Not to say that he doesn't have a future, but didn't help any last year. You cannot do that same type of thing this season, in my opinion. And therefore, everybody expects, well, Brock Bowers, a tight end from Georgia, he's got to be the guy, right? He's got to be the guy. He's a guy who steps in day one. He's a guy who's going to help out your offense. He's a guy that could pose matchup problems for an opposing defense. He'd become Aaron Rodgers' best friend, among others. It's got to be Brock Bowers, right? Not so fast. Not that I don't think that Brock Bowers will have a good career, and all the things that people are writing and saying about him could be accurate. And everything he did in college, you know what? He validated himself as a top-flight prospect. But the more and more I think about this, and I'm staying true to my word, because if you asked me, and whenever we've talked about this for the weeks leading up to this draft, I personally don't think that's the right way to go for the Jets. And again, I could be in the minority, but you're asking me what will help you win more next year and into the future. If your guy or one of your guys is still there at 10, barring you don't make a move up or down, I'm still going offensive line. I know it's not glamorous. I know he's not going to score any touchdowns for you. But you don't have an offensive line that has exactly exhibited consistency and durability over the last how many years? All right, Tyron Smith is a great name to bring into your program. But Tyron Smith has missed, what, 37 games over the last 4 years? Tyron Smith doesn't even practice on a regular basis. Right now, off the top of your head, how many games do you think Tyron Smith is going to play this year for the Jets? Look, you hope he plays 17. But it's not a certainty. And if it's a stock you were buying, it surely wouldn't be one that you feel all that confident in. And he's on a one-year deal. Morgan Moses on a one-year deal, coming off a pec surgery. You sign a guy in John Simpson from the Baltimore Ravens. Some people like him, some people say, eh. Nothing special. So there's some question marks there. And you have a 40-year-old quarterback who is coming off of Achilles surgery. And we don't know what he's going to look like. Remember, there were questions about Aaron Rodgers going into 2023, that he was coming off of that bad season in Green Bay when he had the broken finger, and it wasn't a Rodgers-esque MVP season. But we only got to see him for 4 plays. Now he's coming off of a major injury, and he's a year older. Best way to keep that quarterback on the field and give him a chance to work the rust off and to work and flash some of that MVP magic is continuing to fortify the offensive line. Let's say you take a tackle, okay? How often is Tyron Smith even going to practice this year, right? So that guy could be getting valuable first-team reps in practice 2-3 days a week, even if he doesn't see action on Sundays. And you know as well as I, not that I want to be the Grim Reaper or the bearer of bad news or anything like that. Do you really think the 5 guys that start week 1 on the offensive line are going to make it through the entire 17-game season? Nobody does that. It doesn't happen. So instead of having these backup tackles that couldn't block me, why not get a guy who, A, can develop into a stud, can be someone that might even be playing significant snaps for you this season, and then becomes a full-time starter for you maybe as soon as 2025 or maybe even 2024. The more and more I think about that kid from Washington, that Troy Fautanu, who could play four positions on the offensive line, you play him at tackle, you play him at guard, that's tremendous versatility right there. And for a team that has so many holes, it seems like, on the offensive line with each passing year because of injuries and guys missing time, that is one hell of a Swiss Army knife to just be able to plug into any spot that you have on that line, and you're not going to miss a beat. And you know what? It might even be an upgrade in some cases. Might even be an upgrade. So you're asking me, that's what I would do. I'm going to bypass all the Brock Bowers overtures, and I'm going meat and potatoes. I'm going offensive line, and it's time to get this thing right. Sprinkle in a little bit of good luck and good fortune as well, and maybe we got something to cook with here once the season starts in September. Let's say hi to Cullum in the Bronx. He's up next year on 98.7. Cullum, how you doing? Cullum, you there? Cullum going once.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. What's up, Cullum? How's things?
Very, very good. You know, driving trains, doing a bunch of different things. But I'm really torn with the Giants. With, you know, you hear all the different nonsense of every different possibility. I try to go by what we know.
Mm-hmm.
I know the number one pick is not getting moved, and they're going to take Caleb Williams. I know the number two pick, in my mind, is not getting moved, and I would probably say Jaden Daniels. I know the number three pick, they're asking for a king's ransom, and I don't think it's going to be moved. And if that goes 1-2-3 with a quarterback, I personally, I don't try to predict trades and stuff like that. I think the Cardinals and the Chargers are not going to go quarterback. So if you're sitting there, I'm not honestly a big fan of J.J. McCarthy. I would be fine with taking the wide receiver at 6 and then finding a way to trade back up into the first or maybe high in the second. Personally, when I watched college football, the best thrower of the football and the best dude who made all the throws in my eyes was Michael Penix Jr. And I know he's got the injury concerns, so I wouldn't be happy with taking him that high in the round.
Right.
But if the Vikings fall in love with J.J. McCarthy and they got 2 first-round picks, with maybe moving back 6, and then you take Michael Penix Jr. at 11, and I think they also have the 20th or the 22nd, you get the Texas receiver who is also considered very good, obviously not in the level of the big three that are being talked about with Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Roma Dunze. But they have a lot of issues on this team, and I want to get more depth. And I don't think it's going to be possible to go up and get those top three guys. Maybe. I wouldn't be shocked if it does happen, but I don't see it.
Here's the thing, Cullum, and I thank you for the phone call. I was talking to a couple people over the last 2 days. People in the know, that have worked out a lot of these guys, talk to people in and around the league. A lot of that smoke that's out there right now about the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy, the guy they really want is Drake May, not J.J. McCarthy. I know everybody's reporting that that's the move, but apparently the guy they really, really, really want is Drake May. But a lot of people have eyes for him. J.J. McCarthy's one of these guys that's getting talked up a hell of a lot. Number one, Harbaugh has a lot to do with it, okay? The Harbaugh factor is big, especially now the fact that he's in the NFL, coming off of a national championship. But J.J. McCarthy is a little bit more, the opinion is a little bit more hot and cold than I think a lot of people are led to believe, league-wide. Just store that away, as we're seeing this thing unfold here over the next 24 hours.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Giants are going to be first up with the two locals on the clock tomorrow, albeit nothing changes between now and then. They are picking sixth. And to join us now to talk about the Big Blue draft strategy over the next few days, it is our good buddy Jordan Renan, who covers them for ESPN. Jordan, been a few minutes, my friend. Happy draft eve. How are you?
I know, Dan, it's a busy time of year around here for New York sports fans. So I know people don't believe that I'm a New York sports fan because I worked in Philadelphia for part of my career. But, yeah, let's go, you know, Knicks and Rangers.
So are your allegiances torn for the Knicks and the Sixers series? Like, what's happening there?
No, I have no allegiance to Philadelphia. I work there. My wife's family is from there. I just happen to live there and work there. I mean, that was like my, you know, 30s. 20s and 30s. I grew up disliking Philadelphia like everybody else. Yeah, you know?
That was my 20s and 30s. Now I'm a man.
The Knicks had no like rivalry with the Sixers ever. Like really, I mean,
not as much as some other teams.
I don't ever remember the teams being good at the same time. Really,
yeah. I mean, 1989, they met in the playoffs. That was a lifetime ago, though. You were knee high probably at that point.
Hersey Hawkins.
Oh, out of Bradley, Hersey Hawkins. Sharpshooter.
Love Hersey Hawkins.
He was great.
Yeah, I think there was like a Nintendo basketball game where like Hersey Hawkins was on it or something.
He was a good player there for a few minutes with a mustache.
He was a good shooter.
Yeah, he was a good shooter. Andrew Toney, all those guys back in the day there for Philadelphia, apart from the stars, you know, Barkley.
That's a little before me.
A little bit. They were good teams. All right, let's talk about this Giant football team. What is it going to take for them to be a good team once again? I guess the question, and, you know, it's the pun that's all around, you know, QB or not QB? What do you think happens at that position?
Yeah, well, see, here's the hard part. It's hard to give you a definitive answer because a lot of it is not in their control, right? People are like, go up at all costs and get your guy. Like, that's not so easy. If their guy is Drake May, you know, which, you know, people around the league seem to think is the case. If the Patriots want Drake May and want to draft Drake May, the Giants cannot get him. Like, it doesn't matter basically what you offer. If they want that guy, no matter what, like, you have to probably offer four or five first-round picks to take to push them off it, right?
Yeah.
So there's really no definitive answer. Have the Giants made calls and are they making calls to move up? The answer is yes. Do I believe in, you know, from talking to people around the league that their likely target, and look, it's not a certainty, is Drake May? I do believe that. Does it mean they can get him? I don't, you know, we really don't know. We're not going to know until the Patriots are on the clock at pick three, because look, it's pretty much assumed that Caleb Williams is going one. You know that. And Jaden Daniels, who I believe the Giants really like too, is going number two. So those guys are not even realistic possibilities either. Now the question is, what do they feel about J.J. McCarthy? And if he's there at six, would they take him? That'll be an interesting choice. And if not, if the quarterbacks are gone and they don't get a quarterback, like you'll have to settle, and I say that in air quotes, for either Marvin Harrison Jr. probably or Malik Nabers or maybe even Roma Dunze, which isn't quite settling because those guys are considered – really premium prospects.
And that's the direction I would go as far as wide receiver stand and pat. But on the quarterbacks, though, let me ask
you
this.
Wait, hold on. You can't just throw that out there.
No, we were going to get to it.
You don't think the Giants should go quarterback?
No, I don't. I think they should go wide receiver.
What are they going to do at quarterback?
Well, Daniel Jones is
going to win a championship with Daniel Jones.
No, but Daniel Jones is—he's a placeholder for this year, Jordan. You know that.
Yeah, but then how? Where's the path to the next quarterback?
All
it's
right,
not so easy.
This leads me to my next question, then. Okay, because look, we don't know how they feel about the class of 2025. We don't even know who's going to be part of the class of 2025 yet. But let me ask you this:
absolutely.
Let's say they stand pat at six. Okay, do you really feel that it's worth reaching potentially to draft, let's say, the fourth best quarterback on the board just because he's a quarterback?
Well, I don't agree with those assumptions you just made, and I agree. You do not reach, and if they draft a quarterback, it's not going to be what they consider the fourth best quarterback. It's only the fourth best quarterback by, you know, perception, right? And no, if it's the fourth, if you think it's the, if it's the fourth quarterback in your list, absolutely not.
Right.
But if they draft a guy, they're not going to, it's not in their rankings, it's not the fourth best quarterback. And let me just say this, and I know the perception is J.J. McCarthy, this, that. Let me just defend J.J. McCarthy for a second. If J.J. McCarthy had the Drake May hype going into this past season, first of all, he had a better season than Drake May. We wouldn't be like, oh, they're reaching for J.J. McCarthy. Reaching, what, based on this perception that's out there, right? Actually, I'll say this. I spoke to more people. You know, I'm talking about executives and GMs, and trust me, I think the Giants. This is the Giants guy, but that think Drake May has the best chance out of these guys to be a bust. Like that, they don't like certain things about him. That people are willing to make excuses for their deficiencies. And you know, what do people say about Drake May? Oh, he's got the ideal size, and he throws the ball really well. Size, you know, speed, arm strength, and you know, I spoke to an evaluator. I think the quote was something like, you know, I could go out in the street and find the big guy who could throw the ball hard. There's so much more to playing quarterback. So I think a lot of that is based on perception. And yes, you're right. If it's the fourth guy on their board, no, they shouldn't do that.
No,
if it's a guy that they think is you know going to be a future franchise quarterback, then yeah, they should make a move.
Right. You always stick to your board. You believe in your evaluations and all that. Right. Stick to the board. And if he's your guy, he's your guy. But like with anything, it's a flip of the coin. We don't know if it's going to pan out. Look, Jones is going to be here this year. We know that he's probably not going to be here after this season. I just think there's so many other avenues to potentially go find that. I mean, I would have no problem maybe even rolling the dice on a quarterback, let's say in the second round, like that next group where it's not going to be as punitive if you swing and miss, let's say, and he doesn't turn out to be like a long-term solution.
My point would be, my rebuttal to that would be, how often do you get to pick at this point of the draft? I know the Giants are hoping they're not picking this high in next year's draft. So it's a rare opportunity to pick this high in a draft that is, John Mara said his front office told him, perhaps the most talented group to come out in years. So there's obviously talent. That's why I think this is an opportunity for them to go that direction. Look, free agency is not a place you normally get these franchise quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best you can get in a really great year is like this year, Kirk Cousins shook loose. But like, seriously, what are you winning with Kirk Cousins? The answer is likely nothing.
Nothing.
Right? So I'm a big believer in team building. I want to find the quickest way to win a Super Bowl, not make playoffs or have a decent team. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. And until you have one of these guys, and so I'm willing to take a big swing on quarterbacks every other year if I have to until I get one of these big guys, because the likelihood is you have to have a dominant, like, amazing team, for example, the 49ers, and in order to have, like, a serviceable quarterback that you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Otherwise, you're competing against, you know, the top of the top quarterbacks. And if you don't have one of those guys, it's really hard to win or even compete for a Super Bowl.
I don't disagree with you. And we're talking with Jordan Renan, of course, covers the Giants for us here on ESPN. Look, there might be five, and you know what I've heard? There could be six quarterbacks come off the board in the first round this year, which, by the letter of the law, Jordan, law of averages, you know what's going to happen. If there's that many hell, let's even talk about the guys in the top 10. If there's four or five guys that are picked in the top 10, which could happen, the majority of them are probably not going to pan out because that's just the history of the position, especially high up in the draft.
Yeah, it's going to probably be 50-50. But the flip side is, this is why you say, well, don't take the fourth best guy, blah, 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 this and that. I'll say to you this. in the end, the fourth guy is not necessarily going to be the fourth best guy, right? Lamar Jackson was fifth guy, wasn't he?
Right.
And that was 2018 draft. Deshaun Watson, who's had a really good career, he was, the third guy in that draft. I believe that wasn't that the Patrick Mahomes draft, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
So those were guys two and three in those drafts, because who was drafted was a Mitch Trubisky. Drafted at the top. So just because a guy's drafted fourth doesn't, and I guarantee you, okay, we consider there to be two tiers, the top four guys and then the next tier, which is like Bo Nix and Michael Penix. I would bet a lot of money that Michael Penix or Bo Nix, one of those two guys, ends up being better than one of the top four guys, because that's just the way it seems to work, and we don't know with quarterbacks. But to me, take a swing whenever you can.
All right, let's look at some of these other needs that they have, because we know that they're going to have to make other picks outside of the quarterback position. Obviously, wide receiver is one of them. Whether they do that at sixth or whether they address it in the, you know, second, third round, whatever, that's on the table. How is the Darius Slayton situation going to play itself out? Is he going to get a new deal and or even show up? What do you think?
Well, there's two ways this could play out, right? One is the Giants don't get a receiver in the first round. Then what happens? Darius Slayton becomes an invaluable piece of this team that the Giants absolutely need. Gives him super leverage, right? And then so getting an extension now seems reasonable, because they can't afford to lose Darius Slayton or have an unhappy Darius Slayton. They draft a wide receiver in the first round. All of a sudden, Darius Slayton's saying to himself, hey, this doesn't make sense for me to be here. I'm going to be a part-time guy, basically, you know, subbing in and out, putting up mediocre numbers with, you know, alongside Jalin Hyatt and Isaiah Hodgins in a contract year. And then he says, you know what, it might be better for me to be traded in that scenario. So it all depends on what the Giants do with their top pick, how I believe that situation will play out.
Are they content with the offensive line where it is right now?
I think they feel better about the offensive line. They signed four guys.
Yeah.
They already invested more in the offensive line than like any team in the draft. Joe Shane alone has drafted a second round center, a third round guard, a top 10 tackle, another guard, Marcus McKeithen, in like the fifth or sixth round, you know. So he's already made a lot of investments. Then he just signed four guys. So I do think they think it's better. I they're not like, hey, we got Evan Neal, we feel great about this. But at some point, hey, you got to hope that these guys pan out, at least some of them, right? Josh Azudu, Evan Neal, John Michael Schmidt. And if those guys don't pan out, this regime is probably going to ultimately end up getting fired, because I don't care who your quarterback is. If your line's not serviceable and you can't just sign all guys in free agency, then their offense is not going to be good. And their offense definitely was not good last year. So they're banking on some of these guys being good.
The cornerback position also represents an area of need, because look, you got Deontay Banks. That looks like a safe fit, obviously. But then, you know, it's kind of up in the air. Are we closing the door completely on Adoree Jackson returning?
I don't know about closing the door. The longer he's out there, the more likely it is maybe, hey, I'm comfortable there, I want to come back. Now, I don't think the Giants will pay him a lot. Then again, I'm not sure any team out there is really going to pay him a lot. And they didn't like that he really wasn't physical enough for them at times, and durable as well. So I'd say it's unlikely, but I wouldn't completely say it's impossible.
All right, so to wrap up, you're all on board with the quarterback. That's the move to make. I'm not going
to. If their guy is available,
right?
That caveat has to be out there. Like, I'm fine with them sitting at six, getting a wide receiver, or even moving down and getting more picks. But if one of the guys that they really like is there, yeah, they should try at all costs to get that guy.
And I'm not going to sit here and make you do a stupid mock trade or anything like that, because that to me is nonsense. But they stay at six. The board falls the way they want to. Right now, who is your pick for the Giants at six?
If it falls the way they want to, yep, then the first four picks are quarterbacks if they can't get the guy they want. Number five is Joe Alter, J.C. Latham, who, by the way, has been connected to the Chargers a lot in recent days.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sitting there at number six, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is available. But the likelihood is that the Cardinals are going to want to take Marvin Harrison Jr., and to me, the pick is probably Malik Nabers, with Marvin Harrison Jr. and at least, you know, three or four quarterbacks gone, and who knows what the Chargers do. They'll probably move out, to be honest with you, and get collect more picks in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he's building it up again out there, Harbaugh. It's obvious with what he's done already so far this offseason. Jordan, it should be a lot of fun.
Well, you wouldn't complain with Neighbors, right?
No.
Obviously, you're on board with Neighbors.
You know why? Because you know what? I actually feel for Daniel Jones for a little bit. Because Daniel Jones, if he was that type of guy, he could be slamming doors and throwing stuff around the office and telling those guys, since I've been here, you've given me nothing as far as a legitimate pass catcher is concerned. Nothing.
Best receiver Daniel Jones has ever played with is
Darius Slayton.
I would probably say Sterling Shepard, but yeah, we can make an argument about either of those two guys. And either way, the point is made when we're sitting there bickering about which of those two guys, in my opinion.
Well, and that's what exactly. And the point is, Jordan, too, the wide receiver doesn't have an expiration date, even though Daniel Jones's might be at the end of this season. Like whoever the quarterback is in 2025, he's going to have that stud as his number one pass catcher, also.
And it's a huge benefit, and I totally get it, and I'm all for getting a number one wide receiver. My only thing is, when it comes down to it, there's an easier path to getting a number one wide receiver at some point. Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, guys drafted in the second round constantly become stud wide receivers. Look at that list. Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf. I mean, I could go on and on and on about stud guys second round drafted just wide receivers. It just doesn't work that way with quarterback. That's my whole point.
I hear you. It'll be interesting for sure. Let's see what happens. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, in a couple of days once the dust settles a little bit. But appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy it there the next couple of days. Should be a lot of fun.
Look forward to it, Dan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Talking to some of the people around the league over the last couple of days, the consensus that I got is that this is not considered to be a great draft from top to bottom. And one of the issues and one of the problems with that is that, again, you take it back to college football. And with all the moving around that happens now with these athletes, whether it's transfer portals or NIL and just like the wild, wild west, which has become college athletics, nobody is coached the same 2 years in a row anymore, right? Nobody gets that same type of coaching from one season to the next, and it takes a toll. Because remember something, guys at that age, honing their craft, honing their skills, their bodies, you know, they're growing into their bodies to be professional athletes potentially. Those are like the most fertile years when you're talking about player development. And if it's going to come at the expense of coaching, well, they're going to be behind the eight ball when they do get into the league, because there's only so much your athletic ability is going to be able to get you. Because when you get to the NFL level, everybody's good. Everybody is a pro. You know, so you're not, I mean, coaches, personnel folks, they're going to tell you this now. And this isn't just one team, it's every team. You're not getting the same type of player or the same type of resume, for that matter, that you did 5 years ago when you're talking about a prospect coming into the draft. You're just not. There are a lot of holes and a lot of deficiencies that you can see right through that player compared to what it was years ago. You know, they can't play in certain systems. Once you really start to throw the playbook at them, it becomes like information overload. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of these guys, as simple as it is to say, and it might sound just so common, a lot of them don't know football. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. They don't know football. because they've just gotten by on athletic ability and subpar coaching, especially when you get to the college level. That's not going to fly in the NFL. Not for everybody. Which just makes the job even harder when it comes to drafting top-flight talent. Scotty is in Great Neck. He's up next here on 98.7. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. And I agree with you 100% about an offensive tackle for the Jets, but I think they should trade down because there are about six or seven good offensive tackles in the first round. Maybe all's the best, but you got the three Fs. One of them they drop. And then you got Guyton and you got Mims. So let's say they trade with New Orleans, pick up 13, give them 10. And then New Orleans probably takes one of them. But then the Jets will pick up a second-round draft pick, and they can get Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida. That would be my prime draft.
Scott, you're not wrong about that, and that might be an option they go, and I thank you for the phone call. Here's the thing, though. It depends how far back you trade, what it's going to net you in return. Like Scott just said, like if you go to 13, it'll get you the second-round pick back. No, you're probably not going to get the two back. That'll probably only get you a third, which isn't terrible. You would probably have to drop, I would say, to at least 16, 17 to get you that second-round pick back from some other team. You know, so then you're probably looking in the range of the Seahawks, the Jaguars, teams like that. If they want to make a move up, that will get you your two. But just like, you know, two, three spots, I don't know if that's worth a second-round pick based upon the conversations that I've been having.